goes for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Nuno Mendes est lancé, Nuno Mendes navigue, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cuadrado, le tir, oh il est beau celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboigny avec le Paris Saint-Germain, ah quelle joie.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, also known as the show that wastes no time like Lucas Peraldo, who won his first trophy in Paris only a few days after his arrival to France. Also known as the show entering 2024 with many open questions like Kylian Mbappe's future, for instance. But the question is, to what extent should we get emotionally entangled into this circus that once more is at our doorstep? A quick few thoughts about that a little bit later. Happy New Year if the statute of limitations for wishing it hasn't yet expired. A bit of downtime from football was perhaps even needed, and now it feels really great to get back into all of it as we do on PSG Review.
Mesdames et messieurs, je compte sur vous, le Paris de France, public parisien.
Paris Saint-Germain are the trophy de champion champions for the 11th time in 12 years.
On this episode of PSG Review, we look into the first match and, as it turned out, the first trophy of the year, Trophée des Champions. PSG beat Toulouse in Paris for this silverware, which admittedly is not one of the most significant ones, but a trophy is a trophy and they always better to be won than lost. That's the basic principle. The transfer window is now open. PSG has one confirmed and announced player, that's Lucas Peraldo, who already got his first minutes on the pitch, but we check what else is or might be happening around arrivals and departures, plus a few other bits and bobs. What did Mbappe say after the match, and what does it all mean, and what's the latest update on the future stadium plans? All this in a neat audio package that is called PSG Review. My name is Mikko, really great to have you with me on this 99th ever episode of PSG Review. You can rate the show, give it a small review if you feel generous, and find me on Twitter at PSG Review Pod, on both Instagram and TikTok. The show is at PSG Review. You can listen to the episodes on top of all the usual platforms, now also via YouTube, and I'm also on Blue Sky, so if you are this early adopter of that service, then by all means feel free to say hello there too. That's all the housekeeping done. Now let's get into some actual football. Trophée des Champions was played in the early January rain at Parc des Princes, plus 9 degrees Celsius, that is 48 Fahrenheit, which, to be honest with you, feels like a scorching heat compared to what we have been having here where I am. The whole week has been approaching minus 20, which Fahrenheit language is minus 4. But that wasn't the challenge in Paris, as Parc des Princes wasn't exactly bouncing. The ultras were protesting. It really reminded me of how football used to be during this corona season. We could hear the players through the TV. And I hope that the club directors are making a note of it, because really the soul of these matches at Parc des Princes is the Auteuil stand and the ultras, and that should not be underestimated in the future. But Trophée des Champions, that of course is the matchup between the last season's champion and the Coupe de France winner, so it was PSG against Toulouse. Nice not to have to boycott this match. It's been shameful stain on French football that this match has been organized two previous times in an apartheid country which now is engaging in genocide and ethnic cleansing as well. But while those horrors go on without any significant criticism by football by and large, at the very least, no positive publicity was given to them this time around. I mean, that is literally the least football can do, the very least. But back to Parc des Princes, no huge surprises with the PSG starting lineup. Lee Kang in the midfield instead of Ugarte, and no Gonzalo Ramos or Randal Colomwani as Mbappe, Dembele and Barcola led the attack. Otherwise, pretty standard service by Luis Enrique, what we have come to expect. We will have to wait for Coupe de France to see something different, I guess, but that's also going to be quite soon. More of that later. PSG had a really great first half. Really beautiful football and building momentum. Lee Kang-in got an early goal after 3 minutes of play from a great assist by Ousmane Dembele, and later towards the halftime, Mbappe scored from Barcola assist, but it has to be said that it was Kylian who did all the heavy lifting in that one. absolutely brilliant run with the ball and then shot past the Toulouse keeper, who, by the way, is a very promising player, plays for the French under 21 national team, Les Espoirs. Guillaume Rest is his name. Remember that one, it will come up in the years to come. He wasn't the only Toulouse player with good efforts. They were pretty dangerous once in a while, but no goals to show for it. On second half, there were a handful of chances by Paris, most notably a very nearly brilliant free kick by Hakimi, which hit the sidebar, but no further goals in this match. And in actual fact, it really was Toulouse that was more dangerous towards the end, and quite physical battle on the pitch all in all. Toulouse, of course, is more known for its rugby, and quite frankly, that kind of physicality was on display, especially as they were trying to get their goals as the time was running out. I don't know if I need to remind you that while Toulouse isn't having their best season in Ligue 1, they did beat Liverpool in Europa League not too long time ago, so it's a dangerous opponent, there's no doubt about that, but only this time PSG had enough to defend the lead and eventually, at the end of the evening, lift the trophy. Some noteworthy things from this match were that Lucas Peraldo got his first minutes next to his compatriot and, I gather, his idol Marquinhos. We will talk about the transfer window in a bit, but of course all this happened because Milan Skriniar suffered an impact on his foot and had to limp off the pitch. But I'm sure there will be a medical update about this at some point quite soon. Warren Zaire-Emery was also looking slightly uncomfortable after the match. If you remember, he was having a bit of an injury issue towards the end of the season, and he got back surprisingly quickly from that, quicker than what had been expected. So hopefully that's nothing that will give us stress in the future. And Lee Kang-in, he was the man of the match. Of course, now that football is back, the speculation of Kylian Mbappe's future is once again on the agenda. He's once more heading towards the end of his contract with PSG next summer. So basically that means that he can talk to whoever he wants to and even sign a pre-contract and commit already if that's what he chooses to do. So it surprised absolutely no one that this is what the media was dying to ask from him after the match. Of course, fully knowing that he won't probably give them any kind of conclusive answer, but sometimes having less conclusive answer can be better for their needs because the speculation is where the clicks often are. So this is what Kylian said in a post-match interview. I haven't made my choice yet, but we have an agreement with the president that means that all parties are protected. My future is not an internal issue. We have to think about the team. Now, all this is something we already knew. It has been reported by several journalists. It also doesn't surprise me that he hasn't made his choice yet. Or even if he had, he's not going to go public with it. In Madrid, he can look forward to the whole Super League conversation and saga coming up every now and again. It did again late last year, and who knows what the future of that will be. I think that there's some investment that has been made there, and there's some financial incentive certainly for Real Madrid and Barcelona, so they will probably want to push it aggressively forward even in the future, but I don't know more about that. That's something that most likely is going to meet Mbappe if that's where he goes. And in Paris, he has a project that has been built around him, for him, but which is still looking for its form a little. I mean, he might go. We don't know. And if he does, it is undoubtedly a big blow to PSG because he is the best player there is right now. And losing that many goals per season isn't something that you should approach lightly. Football is about scoring goals. I mean, not just scoring, but goals do win the matches and those wins win the titles. So I'm not nonchalant about it, not at all. I hope he stays, but since it isn't in my control and I don't want to suffer the emotional turmoil of this whole spectacle for yet another spring, I also think that if he leaves, then that's that and the club is not ill-prepared for the first time for this possible post-Mbappe eventuality. It won't be easy, but at the same time, even in this Trophée des Champions match, the issue was highlighted that in our attacks, the ball isn't primarily passed to the player who is in the best position to score. It's passed to Kylian Mbappe, who may or may not be that player who is in the best place to score. And of course, He is the player who can score even from not such a clear chance, but it also is quite easy for the opponents to read our game, like Toulouse did last night as I'm recording this now on Thursday. It's not too difficult for them to defend because they know where the ball will most probably go. I mean, it's still not an easy, just look at the second goal where it wasn't lack of desire to defend against him that caused them to concede. It was his moment of brilliance and that's not to be overlooked, but there were also times when it didn't work so well, and of course we have great target player now, Gonzalo Ramos, on the bench, and it's difficult to have a target player if you, as a rule, don't serve him chances but rather give them to another player. It sort of defeats the purpose of a target player, and if the second goal was a great illustration of how dangerous Kylian Mbappe really is, then the first goal was a good example of what happens when you don't pass the ball to him with the entire defensive line focusing on his presence in the box, as Dembele gave the ball to Kangin Lee instead and he could just sort of control it in. I mean, it really was a great goal both in terms of finish and assist, but it highlights how rarely we try that type of thing. So forgive me for saying this. And I'm not saying this because I think it's the truth absolutely, but there are also times when I wonder how our attack would look without him. And I assume it could be more dynamic in terms of the whole team contributing to it and there would be more of an element of surprise. Would that cover the approximately 50 goals Kylian scores annually? I don't know, of course, but I have come to think that if he does go, then so be it. And if he stays, well, you know, then we have the best player in the world who continues to play in Paris. January means transfer window, and if the summer is filled with millions of rumors and actual deals done, the winter one that we are now having, a little less busy for the most part, far fewer deals and oftentimes nothing too mind-blowing, if I'm being honest. The last decade of January deals sort of just excludes David Beckham, who of course came to end his career in Paris in January of 2013, but other than that, it's been Julian Draxler, who I was excited about when he came, and he had a great start to his life in Paris, but we know how that turned out in the long run. Then there was Leandro Paredes, who was a January deal, but not a lot else jumps to mind. Of course, there's been some, but this time around, the rumor mill had indicated that there will be two new young Brazilian players joining us, and one of them, Lucas Peralta, has already been fully signed and confirmed until 2028, and we already talked about him and how he had his first minutes in our backline only days after arriving to Paris. He joined us from Sao Paulo FC, and the other one was the one that has been rumored for a while, but a little bit more complicated deal in the end. That is Gabriel Mochando from Corinthians. He's a young midfielder, but they had identified a tumor of some sort in his foot, and he will join us according to all available information. It hasn't yet been officially announced, of course, but he will also go through an operation in Doha before he's actually ready to start properly, and it's not yet fully clear whether he will be PSG player this spring or only in the summer. It's speculative for now in the absence of all the details, but what seems certain is that despite this complication, the deal isn't threatened, but there could be a newfound need and necessity for Luis Campos to recruit another midfielder. We shall see. Manchester City's Calvin Phillips had been mentioned many times, but it seems that that one is one of those rumors that has no truth to them, but it could be someone else still. Basically, the sooner the better. That's always the deal, because now we have these Coupe de France matches and such to play, to get started and familiarize with the team, but closer to the end of the month, any given deal will go the closer it will be also to the 14th of February, which of course, it's not just the Valentine's Day, but the return of Champions League football. So these young players are one thing. They're unlikely to be the starters in February, and it's safe to assume that they will need some more time to climatize to European football and climate, quite literally. But if there are any names that could be part of the plan against Real Sociedad, then there's not all that much time to waste. On the departure list, there's mainly really Hugo Ekitike. I have talked about him before on PSG Review. The short version is that he had solid, perhaps more promising than amazing, but good season nonetheless, and Stade Rennes before PSG recruited him in the summer of 2022. His challenge was always going to be to fit into the attack with players like Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi and Neymar Jr. in the mix. All of them were pretty unbenchable in the eyes of Christophe Galtier, the coach at the time. But equally, I sort of thought that there will be inevitable injuries. There was also the World Cup that was to be played and was played a year ago. So I thought that this could give him some opportunities here and there. But those opportunities in the end were few and far in between. There really was only one small stretch of matches during the spring when he got a consistent playing time, what you could describe as consistent playing times, a few matches, and he scored a couple of goals in those matches, but all in all, from the outside looking in, he was very underutilized by Galtier, and in the summer he was seen as a potential bargaining chip for Kolomwani deal with Frankfurt. There are few different versions of this story as well. In the end, I'm not even sure to what extent Frankfurt wanted him at the time as part of that deal. It seemed like they weren't entirely uninterested in him as a player, but it might have been also an idea that was more pushed by Paris that it should happen this way and as part of this larger negotiation. And meanwhile, he and his agent had reportedly tested the waters with some English sides to the dissatisfaction of our leaders, and when the summer transfer window came to its end, he was pretty much lofted, set aside from the PSG future plans with a low to no chance for him to wear our shirt ever again. In my opinion, this did not go very well. If I'm being entirely honest, it's a separate matter what has happened within the training center, within the locker room, what his attitude has been or how generally he conducts himself. There are some suggestions that he isn't the easiest player to manage either. I can't say whether that is true or not. That's why I said that from the outside looking in, from the inside, it might make perfect sense, but I couldn't know that. This whole ordeal has left a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. Not sure to what extent he would have even played or gotten time minutes in Paris, because even Gonzalo Ramos has had very limited playing time, but it would always be nicer if things were organized in a respectful manner. Perhaps I'm a bit naive idealist when it comes to these things, but that's the way that I feel. It's clear now that Ekitike is on the departure list, and the likeliest link right now is a loan deal with Wolfsburg in Bundesliga. Now, Bundesliga has been a very good place for these young French forwards in recent years, and that's why I even thought last summer that Frankfurt would not have been the worst option, you know, last summer, especially as Kolomwani was already on his way out, but perhaps there's more luck with this new attempt to move him to Germany. We shall see. By the way, it also seems now that Frankfurt are eyeing Arnaud Kalimuendo from Rennes. Kalimuendo, of course, one of our Titi Parisien, and he's the one who essentially made way back in 2022 for Ekitike in Paris, so somehow the circle is closing as it tends to. Besides Wolfsburg, there are also some mentions of Wolverhampton, so Port of the Wolves, and even Frankfurt, I guess as a backup option for Kalimuendo, but like said, for now, Wolfsburg seems like the likeliest one. Carlos Soler had reportedly been looking for a way out. He has, very understandingly, a need for more minutes leading up to the next summer's Euros, where he's hoping to be part of the Spanish team, but it appears that he's going to stay put. Other players who could be sold are, of course, Navas and Kurzawa, who aren't really part of the operation very much. I don't know if it's realistic to see them go this month. I guess anything could happen. And more from the periphery of this squad, Noah Lemina, who had been on loan in Sampdoria this last autumn term. It seems that that deal is coming to an end, and he might be heading to Wolverhampton on another loan deal with a possible option to buy. But January is a surprisingly long transfer month, even if it's not that busy, and there's undoubtedly going to be a lot of new rumors and even news with some evidence behind them. So we will stay on a lookout for all of that on PSG Review. Lastly, a small update on the PSG stadium situation. There was a report out that PSG would have ruled out the option of trying to buy Stade France, which might as well, because that always seemed like the worst solution for this stadium deal. Now the remaining options on the table are buying the Parc des Princes with somewhat challenging circumstance of it not being for sale, or then looking for another location in Paris and building a new one. And it sounds very simple enough with these specs, I give you that. But finding a good location for a new stadium isn't that easy in a city like Paris. And how far do you want to go, and also to expand on the first option of buying the park? Well, I have always felt that this no by the municipality might not be the final no. I have no particular evidence to back this up, but I do think there certainly is at least a chance that the City Hall is playing hardball, and for them it's bad optics and unpopular among many to sell one of Parisian landmarks to what essentially is a foreign state of Qatar. I was talking about this some weeks ago, how there is a chance that the new minority owners, Arctos Partners, could play part in this deal. And one purpose, according to the press release for this deal, you know, for PSG to sell this minority share, was for them to participate in PSG's real estate plans, not just with finalizing the training center, but also with the stadium. So we still have to wait for that. But of course, there are no guarantees, as there rarely are in this world guarantees. And if PSG managed to get the deeds for Parc des Princes, those renovations would take a while and the club would have to play elsewhere anyways for some time. The reason why I feel like this could be a simple standoff to save face for the City Hall is that while Parc des Princes is a Parisian landmark, it is that these days mainly because of PSG, and should PSG leave, well, you know, then it would have far fewer users because it's not the main Parisian stadium anymore, or stadium in that Paris region, because for the really big events, of course, there's Stade France. So what or who would take over Park if PSG left? That's not very clear, and that too would provide another challenge for the city officials. But of course, in the bigger scheme of things, the fate of Parc des Princes isn't necessarily the biggest burning issue for the city like Paris. They have their hands full with the Olympics next summer and, you know, just in general running a huge European metropolis. But at some point, this matter has to be decided. And undoubtedly, it's a lot about optics. I mentioned that, but it really is a lot about optics. So we will see how it goes, but I'm hoping that Parc des Princes would remain our home, and somehow I feel like it would be the best solution for the city as well. And if that happens, I do hope that the new architecture will remain respectful to the stadium as it currently is. I like the aesthetics of it, but that is a side note. The very latest update to this saga around Parc des Princes has come in right now as I'm recording. According to that, now that PSG is no longer in a run to possibly buy Stade France in Saint-Denis, the first deputy mayor of Paris, Emmanuel Grégoire, has sort of opened up the negotiation, or the possibility for the negotiation, sort of opened the door for it, according to Le Parisien. This, of course, is incredibly early days, and we will see how it goes. But the message from this elected official was welcoming. It's saying that it's good news because it means that we will be able to work seriously on the hypothesis of maintaining PSG at the park, because we understand that it's either this option or a hypothetical new site. However, we continue to think that Park is the most secure solution financially, technically, and sportingly. We are therefore prepared to resume talks as quickly as possible with PSG to find a favorable outcome. That, of course, is music to our ears, and we hope that this is indeed the direction where things will go. But it won't necessarily be very easy, the negotiations, because the two parties are seemingly very far from each other at the moment. They say that we have several options to offer to PSG. I don't comment any of them. I'm hopeful that we will reach an agreement. That is Emmanuel Grégoire, the first deputy mayor of Paris, who adds that he is in favor of extending the park to sort of 60,000 seats, which of course is something that PSG would be keen on, but only if they can then own the stadium as well. According to these news that have come in today and these reports, the negotiations would start as soon as possible, and then it could even mean that the new Parc des Princes would be ready for 2027-2028 season. That is something that would be a realistic scenario for today. Other than that, we have talked about these various different options in PSG Review before. A good episode to look for is called PSG and Park, What's Happening, where I discuss the matter both from practical but also from sentimental angles, which two from Parisian Londoner, which is of course a collaborator of the show. Also, that episode is from January last year, but surprisingly little has changed in 12 months. Thank you for listening. It feels good to be in this new year, and we will undoubtedly have an exciting spring ahead of us. Up next is Coupe de France, which I find myself looking forward to because it's nice to see something a little bit different. Also, perhaps the players who haven't had that chance will now get it. Will we see a full match from Beraldo, Shane Duor in the midfield, perhaps Ethan Pape, and hopefully Gonzalo Ramos and Nordin Mukele, or some combination of these? Will we have Keylor Navas in goal, or will it be Arnau Tenos? It's one match where everything's up in the air, and that one is on this coming Sunday night, Paris time, 7th of January, and week from that, a huge domestic match against Lens on the road. So two very interesting, if in very different ways, interesting matches ahead of us, as we have to find a way to play without Kangin Lee and Ashraf Hakimi, as well as both of them have already left for their respective continental tournaments with their national teams. A lot to look forward to. Women's team is back in training. They have moved now to Poissy as well, which is really great news. And we will talk about their matches and potential transfers as those start taking place. My name is Mikko. More PSG review next time. But until that, peace.